Therefore, it is mind that sees the image and takes cognizance of it. A. If the tree were not there, the image would not be made. B. The tree being there, and the retina of the eye, as a sensitive plate, being there, under the law of the reflection and refraction of light, the image or photograph of the tree is produced on the retina, and recognized by the mind. 180. So whenever the mind recognizes an image, it concludes that an object exists, somewhere, to produce the image. 181. And when the mind recognizes the vision of a person, and no person is to be found in the tangible presence, it is to be inferred that some, ordinarily, occult personage is producing the image. 182. Spiritualism demonstrates that such occult personages exist. 183. Hence, the mind is driven to conclude that such personality is a human being divested of the physical body. 184. Then they say that everyone is endowed with these powers. A. As well say that all are endowed with the gift of music or painting or sculpture, etc. B. But some can be impressed with one thing in one way, and some in another. C. No two are endowed alike. D. Such facts prove phenomena of different characteristics to be by different personalities. E. We prove that these personalities exist. F. Reason must assign the cause of the phenomena to be these spiritual beings in their different individualities. 185. Then the artist took a sheet of paper, exhibited the same to the circle, and the paper was pronounced clean. Then the artist had the circle examine the colors that had been provided to sketch with, and common black crayon and powdered yellow, dark and light red, were the paints in the room. Then the spirit proceeded to sketching on that paper, asking Dr. Reed to extract some colors from a bouquet of flowers for him to use, and the doctor said, "All right." And in about 1.5 minutes the artist had made the portrait of a beautiful young girl, in natural flesh colors, and a sky blue background. Figure 4. Typewriting number 6. Edward Hughes. Does a soldier suffer for killing his foes? 186. Friends, I am here tonight to answer the question. Does a soldier suffer for killing his foes? I am here to tell you that I suffered, and suffered keenly for the killing of my foes. I have found that the difference in the mode of killing does not condone the wrong. Because one man takes the life of another in a manner that the people of earth consider just, does not signify that the infinite will take the same view of the subject. 187. I passed out on one of those bright sunshiny days of spring, when the warmth of the sun is just beginning to triumph over the frost of winter. I had been thinking of home, so strongly, for several days, and I had that feeling that is so difficult to explain to others, and that comes to many, that I would never see the dear old home again. And this thought must have caused my spirit, upon its release, to seek, at once, the favorite haunts of my childhood home. The boughs of the apple trees that were loaded with pink and white blossoms, gave promise of a bountiful harvest. The white clouds looked like ships, sailing on a blue sea, and I thought how little sister and I used to sit and watch them and speculate on when they would return, and what they would be loaded with. 188. A lazy, dreamy feeling of the hills and wooden meadow lands, came stealing over me, and I felt that I was a boy again, and went skipping down to the brook to see if the water was not beginning to get warm enough for fishing, and visions of delightful swimming swept over me. Then I thought of little sister and the sad, sad time of my life, when she was taken away. I thought I heard her call my name, but felt sure this must be part of this most pleasant of dreams. 189. Behold my sister Martha. A beautiful girl stood before me. She said, "My dear brother, don't you know me?" "No," I said. "You cannot be little Martha. How strange. You seem like her, but she is dead." "I am Martha," she replied. "Do you not know that you are also dead? See figure 4. 190. "No," I said, "I feel sure I am not dead, but I don't care to awaken from this dream." I found, however, that I was dead, and I found also, that things would not be as pleasant for me as the place I was then in. 191. War is wrong, was never right, and those who aid and abet it, will have to suffer in proportion as they make others suffer. 192. I have been among a band of helpers for years, trying to impress the so-called civilized people of Earth that they must not indulge in wars, and that, at no time, is it right to take the lives of others for opinion's sake. Think of taking the lives of your brothers because you cannot agree over such trivial things as the borderline of a state or country. And above all, do away with warfare in a country that has the opportunities to study the results as your country has. 193. The celebrations are only the lingering evidences of the savage as he beat on his tom-tom and stamped around in his war dance. 194. Patriotism is a sentiment too deep even for measuring with words. How then, shall you emphasize it by senseless noise? Let patriotism grow apace, with the growth of the nation you love, but with the passage of years let us hope to find your love of country assuming more moderate forms of expression which you adopt toward individuals you love. And at last, to find the receptive minds of children untutored in the direction of skyrocket enthusiasm and gunpowder patriotism. 195. Let the loyalty of generations unborn be based more upon the sure footing of the intelligent approval and support of the principles of freedom and good government, and less upon the vain, glorious heralding of the wars of days gone by. Teach them that it is much better to suffer wrong than to be guilty of wrongdoing. Might is not right, even though thousands have it for their motto. Signed, Edward Hughes. But, someone will say, where is Mrs. Abba and what is she doing while your seances are in session? 196. We may answer once for all by relating what she was doing during this seance. There is an automatic music box in the seance room which she keeps wound and going. She is seated on a chair at the right extremity of the circle, in sight of the whole circle, and the music box at her feet in sight of the circle. This box needs winding about once in 10 minutes, which she does. Then she engages in conversation with the circle and spirits same as any other person of the circle. She is also a medium, and when under control is in a semi-conscious condition, and her trance control seems to be an Indian designated by the name Red Feather. This spirit uses her vocal organs as his medium of speech, and is very witty at times, and when the circle gets dull he leads out with amusing conversation and will soon have the circle talking with him and with each other in good, hearty, mirthful, conversational manner, so that the circle at all times know of her position and what she is doing. And sometimes, we may quote some of the repartee sayings of the spirit and simply give it as the sayings of Red Feather, expecting the reader to remember this item. 197. There came one that proved to be Ethan Allen, who, on this occasion, talked in peculiar articulation, saying, in substance, I am glad to meet you again, and it affords me much pleasure to do so. While it is somewhat difficult for me to talk, I shall again make the effort and may succeed if you will be patient with me. 198. You have a beautiful world. But not many of its inhabitants are cognizant of the fact to the extent that they should be, and I am going to try, in this way, to talk to all the people. 199. If they could understand the laws of existence and could look to nature in her universal workings, instead of looking to and for some god outside of nature, your laws of government would be much nearer to the natural demands and needs of the people, and if you only had many more inner souls to modify the god idea until the divine right of kings should be exchanged for the universal brotherhood and divine rights of men and women, the people would soon be ready for such chief executives as Abraham Lincoln, and a better government for the whole people would soon begin to be established. Indeed, there may soon appear among the people of your world conditions looking toward the governmental equalization of the burdens and joys of life among all the people embracing international economic exchange. For many of the good and wise have been translated to our side, having love of the whole human brotherhood at heart, and they will continue the work of governmental amelioration, until human governments shall be modified in the interests of all. And these same good souls will go on to higher and better conditions, continually reflecting their attainments back to such of earth as shall be able to receive and promulgate them. 200. I have met many of those in higher spheres, who, as when they lived in your world, are still at work for the good of man. They take up different works, and teach differently from the manner of the schools of Earth in their day, having learned better modes since they entered spirit life. They now find there is no mode of teaching superior to experience, that in earthly schools, under common methods there, jealousy is a predominating element, which is not found in the higher spheres, and the method of teaching by experience counteracts this spirit of jealous selfishness, which, everywhere in your world, stands in the way of good government and general spiritual unfoldment. Therefore look more to experience for proper methods. 201. And Daniel, Abrian took the trumpet and uttered aloud his ordinary salutation to the circle, displaying his Irish wit in repartee with the circle, until Sam called him down and he went into the cabinet telling Sam he had some rights, and Sam said yes, but not all the rights, and the two voices, Irish and German, fire hot witticisms at each other while the circle enjoy the merriment. 202. The Chinaman speaks of Dr. Sehus, because the doctor had written and published in Light of Truth, the philosophy of Confucius and his disciples. Seance number 10, July 27, 1902. 203. After the opening exercises, the spirit, Professor Denton, stood before the circle saying, I wish to further say of clairvoyance, that you have upon earth instruments of both clairvoyance and clairaudience, that there are two forms of each one, the outward form, the inward form. A. The outward form is where the instrument sees the form of an object or hears the sound produced in the ear. B. The inward form is where a spirit is able to impress, or make the image directly upon the spirit brain of the instrument, or impress the sound on the spirit brain. The latter form of clairaudience you generally call impression or inspiration. C. Inspiration is inward clairvoyance. A.N.N. Sargent 204. And now comes the spirit Dr. Reed, and writes the dictation of a spirit who gives the above name. The following is a copy of the dictation, to wit, A. My life has all been spent in the spirit world. So much has been written in praise of its charm, and yet it is true that the best reading will be your own, face to face with its beauties. I have always been used to the verdure-clad hills, the brooks and streams incessantly singing, crooning songs, making music as soothing as a lullaby. Each tiny cascade has its own musical note and these blend without jars of individualities. It is the symphony of the streams, the basses in front, and the rhythms softly chiming in at a distance. To view these beautiful scenes is to realize what purity means. The soft breezes seem to die away into whispers and silence. B. Reared or developed among such surroundings by kind teachers, is it any wonder that I view the struggles of those on earth with feelings akin to pain? I have assisted other spirits in their work upon the earth plane for many more years than I have any record of. I see so many cases of sorrow that I often long to wrap the mantle of forgetfulness around the poor, tired souls, and let the busy world seem like a dream, or never to have been. These cases are not among those the world would count as poor or destitute, but we know they are among the most needy ones of earth. See, costly gems might be sold to feed a starved stomach, but they can purchase nothing for the starved soul. Money should only be valued for the comforts it can purchase. If you value it in any other way, it will surely prove a millstone to sink you still deeper in the depths of misery and despair. Can I tell you of what I have seen? A description thereof would convey no adequate idea of the subject, and be as futile as for you to attempt to sail to the moon in a mud scow. Seen from our standpoint, the shadowy places are as clear as the sunshiny ones to you. 205. I stood in the midst of a grief-stricken home, not long ago, and tried in vain to give some little crumb of consolation and hope to the unhappy ones in that home. The mother was alive. The son she had borne and lavished all her love and bright hopes on lay a cold white corpse. The husband and father did not even try to comfort her. He felt that it would be useless. Theirs had been a marriage of convenience. She was beautiful, but the woman so graced a rich man's home. He was rich and she felt that riches would purchase all that made life worth the living. Too late. She discovered her mistake when her only child traveled the pace that not only kills the body but stultifies the soul also. A friend came in and spoke to her of spiritualism. She told her that there was something beyond the earth life. "No, no," the stricken one cried. "If my boy could come to me, he would come now. I never, no, not once did I ever refuse him aid, and he would come to me now, if he could." Reason had flown and argument was of no avail. 206. Friends, these are the kind of people we must reach, and these books will be of greater help than you will be able to know while you are upon earth. A. At first they will have little weight with the class of people I have been telling you of, coming, as they do, from the little prairie town of Spring Hill, save for the apparent audacity of the statements. But after people come and see for themselves and return to their homes, and assure their friends that all, and still more wonderful things than have been recorded in the books, are true, they will begin to realize that their only hope for happiness in the spirit world is to heed the warnings given them and begin to learn to live, not prepare to die. Signed, Anne Sargent. Who this spirit is, we do not know, more than that she claims to be a messenger from higher realms. 207. And now comes the artist, in his jabbering style of speech, talking of conditions. A heavy rain had just fallen, and lightning and thunder still, at intervals, made the conditions of which he spoke. Then speaking to Dr. Reed, "Say, Doctor, can I hold to make a picture?" Reed, "I think so. We will support you." Artist, "I don't know." Reed says, "Go ahead, you can make it." Artist, "Allie lighty. Come on outy here." While talking to the subject and posing it, the artist sketches, mixes paints, blows over the paper and finally shows his work to the circle, the same being a portrait in colors, of a man form of ancient appearance, background tinged with red and yellow. Headdress somewhat crown-shaped, but not marked with stars or emblems except a Maltese cross. Placed at 2191 Clamelia 208. A woman spirit slowly emerged from the cabinet, being rather tall, clothed in white, with dark girdle around the waist, took position between secretary and cabinet and began to whisper, secretary using the trumpet as a sound condenser, small end of trumpet to secretary's ear, and spirit whispered into large end, saying, "A, my name is Clamelia. I can't say how long, but it has been many, many years since I passed to spirit life. I find now that a great many new things have been developed on earth, since I left it for the spirit world. A great many labor-saving improvements have appeared, which, if they had been utilized, as designed, would have been of great advantage to the common people of your world. B, these improvements have been wrought out in the higher and intermediate spheres and transmitted to man through the appropriate sensitives for the benefit of man, but so soon as made practical, they are found in the hands of manipulators of the various industries to which the several improvements are adapted, and instead of dividing the time saved among their employees, the employers discharge workmen in numbers equivalent to the manual labor saved, or reduce the price per laborer accordingly, and thus the improvements are made beneficial to employers and a corresponding detriment to the laborer in general. C. We are now trying to arrange matters and governments so that these great gifts of the spirit world shall be a blessing to all people of your whole earth and not, as now, used to enslave most of the race of man. We desire to so arrange that all may labor and enjoy the full fruits of their labor, and each share his portion of the benefits of the labor saved by improvements originating in those realms where the brotherhood of man is recognized. Oh! It is enough to move to pity the whole spirit world, to discern so many thousands of poor, innocent children, crying for bread, in a world like yours, where there is abundance for all. Your world, with the fullness thereof, is for all of its inhabitants, and not for individuals, to the enslavement of the race. D. Our world is improving in sympathy with unfortunate conditions of earth, and we hope to have this dispensation of near approach of the spirit world to earth's inhabitants come nearer accomplishing its purpose than ever before, in so educating the people of earth that their relations to themselves and obligations to one another shall, before many generations more go by, be so generally understood that conditions which now produce wars, sorrows, sighing and slaughtered innocents shall be so modified that all may enjoy some heaven on earth. E. You want to learn that it is wrong to kill one another, not only that, but wrong to kill animals, and it is wrong to eat flesh, for that tends toward making people more savage. 209. James G. Blaine stood forth, made himself known, and on being asked to give us some political pointers, said, "Those matters are too corrupt for me now. I have gone out of politics. I'm working for the human family." One stood out saying, 210. "I am Michael Faraday. I am happy to meet you in this way again. Quite a while since I was here in the form before. I am doing what I can to make your undertaking a success. I find changes are taking place, that in less than 5 years there will be great changes, in climate, in people, but all things for the benefit of man." 211. Professor Denton reappears before the circle, takes and distributes the flowers to the different persons of the circle, walking about in the room and engaging in general social colloquy with the circle during the distribution. Then steps back to a point just in front of the parting of the cabinet curtains, and in very strong voice and elocutionary manner speaks as follows, to wit, "A, friends, the circle is not quite full this evening, but the fact that several of you are here, notwithstanding the inclement weather, shows to us that we yet have a few faithful co-workers on your earth, and this will be to your benefit. For you have but a few more years, at most, to remain in the physical condition, and the more knowledge you obtain of these things the better you will be prepared to progress when you reach the spirit side. Try to think of such things only as will elevate you. Try to have your souls filled with something good for yourself and for the world you know. Then try to be heard in some way, for you will have something good and useful to communicate to people who may be induced to listen." 212. The little ones. Think of them. Think how that, hour by hour, coming up from nature's depths, in one unceasing procession, the little ones arrive on the surface of your earth to load up their barks for eternity. Try to think what kind of material should go into those little barks to be borne out on the great ocean of endless life. Oh, if the people would try, would endeavor to enfold themselves in truth and thereby have the souls of those millions of little ones filled with truth, instead of error, what hallelujahs would resound among the spectators of the higher spheres. A, but stop and try to think how much of error and how little of truth is fostered among these little ones on earth today, as they struggle on for their rightful inheritance. What are the lessons upon the subject of war? There may have been war in heaven; if so, it was not a very high heaven, indeed, it must have been a very low heaven. The very first sounds the child hears in public are military notes, in honor of some war, some warrior, someone who has slain his thousands, and the child gets into your schools and military history is put into its hands. Your school histories, ancient and modern, and your Sunday school history, the Bible, much of it is also chronicles of wars, military exploits. All, both ancient and modern history, set up the great military heroes as the most worthy examples for the child to try to emulate, and all this creates the feeling of war, and this feeling directs the will. As long as you educate for war and therefore have the feeling of war, your will under control of this feeling is for war, and thus long will you have war. B. Not until all this crowding the children's minds with the spirit of war is changed by instilling them with lessons of the practical life in the higher spheres, will there be a high grade of spirituality developed, generally, among the inhabitants of your world. C. Experience of all spheres teaches to be good, to be charitable. But most of those stuffed with your modern schooling know nothing of these things. I want to say to the people of Earth that too much of their schooling is along mercenary lines, to prepare them for immediate felicity on entrance to spirit life or even for a high grade of earth life. D. Why, even their whole school, book business is the same way, for the money there is in it. The more books the schools take, the more profit for bookstores, bookmakers, paper makers. Hence, legislatures are lobbied, school superintendents, school boards are lobbied and salted, if need be, to induce the adoption of books and frequent changes of textbooks, and money and some sort of mercenary motive is found all along the line. But the needed experience to prepare the pupil for either your own world or the higher life is not found a great deal in those books. E. Remember, friends, that it is this cooling of experience that finally makes the great souls of time and eternity, and that not much of the essential lessons of experience may be found in your school textbooks of today. Seance number 11, July 31, 1902, 213. After the regular opening exercises and greetings of Reed and Denton, Denton said, "There are many things to be learned which if you could know and understand you would be able to perceive that your earth is a stage upon which men and women try to play their part, but for the want of such knowledge and understanding, many pass to this side of life not having learned the one law that governs all, and have to finish the play here, which they commenced on earth, and this makes much work for philanthropic spirits on this side to do. A. I am glad that I passed out, although seemingly in the midst of my work on earth, for I am here, better able to work for the benefit of needy ones on both sides of life, and to help many that I could not have helped had I remained longer on earth. B. I was sent here to assist in this work, and when you come to this side, I will show you that, in our sphere, we have no strife, no jealousy, that in harmony does not reign, but all is peace and joy. C. Then after exhorting the circle to engage in moderate conversation while the operators would be doing their work this evening to call our minds from the work of the operators, Denton retired, backing into the cabinet, and as he did so, 214. The typewriter came forth in the arena, R.V. 1170, and proceeded to take the dictation of Edmund Sahus as follows, to wit, 215. Dr. Reed has kindly requested me to report my observations in the study rooms of the higher spheres. A. All my earthly training had been along educational lines, and it is only a natural consequence that after the novelty of being in a strange and interesting country began to lose its charm, my thoughts should return to the well-known duties of earth, and with the desire to learn more, I began visiting the schools in spirit life. My brother will be able to realize how great the contrast was between the schoolhouses of earth and those of spirit life, when I tell him that instead of the crude little schoolrooms I was accustomed to, were beautiful palaces that had no resemblance to the schools of earth, except the number of children gathered together. B. I expressed my surprise at their manner of teaching, and one of the instructors smiled, saying, "No, we do not teach at all as you did upon earth. You see, we do not have to train our little charges so they will be able to battle in a cold, cruel world, where greed and avarice are in the front ranks. Here, where people are not rated by dollars and cents, but by their own strength of character, we have no need for the systems of earth." I found other schools, where there were no children, vast halls of learning, where the walls were lined with books, and huge cases of books stood everywhere. I thought the spirits studying these volumes so intently must be the wisest spirits in spirit life, but I was told that there were others farther advanced than they were. See, since then, I have visited many schools and have stood for hours watching the instructors teach without the aid of books, making their thoughts clear to their pupils without words or symbols. D. Yet by far the most interesting thing I have witnessed in spirit life was the manner in which the astronomers in one of the observatories made the complicated calculations stand out in space. They did not use crayons of any sort, or even make the shape with their hands, yet the figures seemed to take shape from their thoughts and stand alone, as it were. E. The spirits at work here were of all nationalities. It looked odd to see a Chinese in his native dress sitting by a stylish little Frenchman. Both were intent upon their studies, and did not interfere with each other. They tell me that a new planet will come within the reach of the telescopes of Earth soon. I saw many things there that I am unable to explain to you. Some of these spirits have been here for hundreds of years. They have other work besides this. In fact, I find that all who progress in the spirit world must lend a helping hand to one another. F. You, who think that there are some things you can never forget or forgive, will find, when you reach this side of life, that it will be as foolish to treasure up your grievances as it would be to treasure up the pranks of your playmates in your childhood. Your trials will look as insignificant to you, then, as your childish troubles to you now. Are not the sorrows of children just as keen as those of their elders? The only difference lies in their short duration. So it will be with the sorrows of earth when you view them in the light of an endless life, instead of by the scale of 80 years. Signed, Edmund Sahus 216.